How excellent is his name in all the earth. Oh, the blessings that he's heaped down upon us this weekend. Unworthy, bankrupt sinner, though I am, he's blessed me to hear the good news of his salvation again and again and again. We've been blessed to sing it in these songs of Zion. How thankful I am to the Lord. Appreciate so much the warm hospitality of this church, of the sweet, sweet labors that have gone on in putting on this meeting. I feel the love of the Lord has abounded here in this place. I do ask an interest in your prayers. Please continue to pray. We stand before you. I'd like to begin in Matthew chapter 12 for a moment before we go back to the Old Testament book of Jonah. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 38, it says, "Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee." And for lack of a better way to say it, when I read that, I'm like, really? They had already seen him heal lepers. They had already seen him do many diverse kinds of miracles. They had already seen him raise the dead to life. And they would say, "We seek a sign from thee." You look at the chapters in Matthew before that, and you'll see time and time again where Jesus did wonderful works of miracles. And they'd say, "We'd see a sign from thee." But he answered and said unto them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here." Lord being our helper, I want to look some in the book of Jonah. I want to look at some practical things. I want to see some glimpses of us. And then the Lord being our helper, I want to see some glimpses of our precious Lord in the book of Jonah. Jonah begins by saying, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." Now, I'm going to tell you, as we look a little bit about the details of this account of Jonah, Jonah is kind of a picture of us. You know what Jonah's name means? It means dove. You know who's called dove in the scripture? The bride. Song of Solomon chapter 5, I love these verses. 4. Or excuse me, chapter 6, it says, "My dove," this is the husband, the groom, talking unto his bride, And he said, my dove, my undefiled, is but one. And you'll see earlier in chapter 5, where the groom has come, the husband has come, a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. He'll say, I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove. The dove in the Bible is a picture of us as the bride of Christ and as little children of God. Brother Jonathan had preached to us earlier about the creation and the flood. I'm reminded of when Noah, he let out a raven. And that raven goes out and finds plenty to eat in this world that had produced much death. There were dead things the raven could feed on. But then he lets out the dove. The Bible said the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot. And she comes back to Noah, whose name, by the way, means rest and comfort. Noah sticks out his hand and he brings the dove back in the ark. A great picture of our Lord. Who says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You're laboring and heavy laden with the condemnation of your own sin. Come to me, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I'll tell you, the dove of the Lord Jesus Christ will never find rest in this old world. We may try to find it, but we won't find it. We can't feed on the things of the world. But I'll tell you what rest and peace we find in our Lord, our Savior. Said he's the son of Amittai. That means my truth. May we as the dove of the Lord always stick with his truth. May we always embrace his truth and the truth of his word with everything we have. The word of the Lord's come to Jonah. We just heard an excellent message. I appreciate so much the message that Brother Gary's preached unto us. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. But he don't like it. Said, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, is Jonah able to run from God?
No.
Psalms 139 said, though I go to heaven, thou art there. Though I make my bed in hell, thou art there. Though I take the wings of the morning and go unto the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me. Thy right hand shall uphold me. For little children of God, those verses are precious. Have you ever felt in your life that you're just in the middle of nowhere and you're all alone? Can you imagine a more desolate, lonely place than the uttermost part of the sea? But even there, even there, our Lord is there. Even there, his right hand can uphold us and sustain us with his mercy and his grace. No, we can't run away from the Lord, but Jonah tried. And I'm going to tell you what we see Jonah do. This is more than a book for the ministry. Jonah is a minister. But I'm going to tell you, we're all capable of being disobedient to the Lord like Jonah was. And I need to look at him and say, that can't be me. He runs away. And there's a theme, and I won't go into all the details, but he's going down. We see numerous times in the next few verses, Jonah is going down, down, down. Now I'm going to tell you, when we don't do what God Almighty says, we're going down, down, down. In Galatians, the Lord will tell us, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know, we reap what we sow, and we reap more than we sow. If I sow watermelon seeds, what am I going to get? Watermelon. If I sow cantaloupe seeds, what am I going to get? Cantaloupe. And I hope to get more watermelon and more cantaloupe than I sowed. I hope to reap more. I don't know of a more vivid illustration of that in the Bible than Jacob. Jacob tricked his daddy into giving him the blessing of Esau with something from an animal. Many years later, Jacob's boys would convince him that his son Joseph, who he loved so, so much, they would convince him that he was dead by using something from an animal. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Jacob tricked his daddy with something from an animal. His boys tricked him with something from an animal. Said he paid the fare thereof. And we'll pay when we don't do what God says, not eternally, but we'll pay here in time. He said, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so the ship was like to be broken. The mariners are scared. These are tough men, tough sailors, and they're scared to death. They had never seen a storm like this storm. Jonah's asleep. Not a time to be sleeping. The mariners are so afraid, said, we got to get rid of the cargo in this ship. We got to get rid of this stuff or we're going to sink. Jonah's asleep. There was a time where Peter and James and John were blessed to see one of the most magnificent sights ever imaginable. They were blessed to go up on what we call the Mount of Transfiguration with the Lord, where the Lord's face became white and glistering, and they were blessed to see the very glory of Jesus Christ. That glory that had been concealed, he revealed it on that mountain. But you know, they almost missed it. The Bible said they were heavy with sleep. But when they were awake, they saw his glory. I'll tell you, I don't want to be sleepy when things like that are happening. I want to be awake to see the glory of the Lord. Garden of Gethsemane, the Lord Jesus comes back three times. He said, watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation, for the spirit is willing and the flesh is weak. And he comes back three times and he finds them sleeping. He said, sleep on now. Take thy rest. There is a time to sleep, but there's a time to be awake. Ephesians 5, he would say, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. That means from among the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Not life, but light. You know, when we're acting like the dead of this world, a little light helps us tremendously. These mariners said, we got to figure out what's going on here. So they casted lots to see why this terrible storm had come upon them. And the light fell upon Jonah. And they start asking Jonah some questions. Verse 9, he said, I'm a Hebrew and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which made the sea and the dry land. And the men were exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Now they're thinking Jonah's crazy. The gods they serve, they got a god of this and a god of that and a god of this and a god of that. Jonah's described to them a god that he's god of the sea and the land. He said, you run from him? That wasn't smart. They said, what can we do? Jonah said, you got to cast me overboard. Now, I'm going to tell you, you see in this account how little compassion Jonah had on the Ninevites. But look at the compassion these heathens had on him. They didn't want to throw him overboard. And they tried. They rowed. They did the best of their works. But they couldn't do it. And they threw Jonah overboard. Verse 15 says, so they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. I'm going to tell you, the Bible plainly said God Almighty had sent that storm as a temporal judgment. But the sacrifice of one man, that sea immediately was calm and the judgment of God ceased. God's wrath came to an end. I'm going to tell you that's one of the ways, that's one of the signs of Jonah. Many hundreds of years later, the sacrifice of one man would be offered. The sea of God's judgment and the storm of God's judgment was upon him on the cross of Calvary, not for his own sin, but for my sins and for your sins. Every single sin I've ever committed or will commit, he endured the storm of God's judgment in 6 hours upon the cross of Calvary. It's hard for my mind to wrap around that. That he endured an equivalent of the punishment of an eternity in hell for all the elect family of God in 6 hours on the cross. Hard for me to wrap my mind around that. But you know, when Jesus said, it is finished, the judgment of God was over. He finished the work. And the sea ceased from her raging. We're blessed with peace today because of the sacrifice of that one man, the God-man, our Lord, our Savior, our Master, and our Redeemer. What was these? You know, and the men's works couldn't do it. They tried. They couldn't do it. Man can't do it today. Took the sacrifice of the one man to do it. Said, then the men, those heathen mariners, then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. They said, we need to worship this Lord, this God, for all he's done. Now, I'm going to tell you, if that made the heathens want to do that, how much more should it make the people of God want to do that? What a blessing. Now, the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Now, we've all heard this stuff about, was it a whale, was it a fish? A whale can't do this, a fish can't do that. The Lord prepared this fish. It did exactly what the Lord wanted it to do. The God we've heard about that said, let there be light, and create the sun and the moon and the star. I think he can create this fish. And he did. And that swallows Jonah. He was in it for 3 days and three nights. I'm sure that seemed like a long time to Jonah. But you know what? It could have been a lot longer. He deserved a lot longer. But the Lord's so merciful. I want to look, before we go any further, at a verse that Jonah's actually praying to the Lord, and he's so mad because the Lord has spared the Ninevites. Listen to what he says. For I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest of the evil. That word evil means destruction that he had intended for Nineveh. You know, the Ninevites weren't the only ones that were recipients of what he just described. Jonah was a great recipient. Jonah, did you not see that the same God that was so gracious with the Ninevites, he's been gracious with thee? He could have gone down in the depths and never come up. That whale, in a sense, that great fish, in a sense, was a blessing. Jonah prays in chapter 2. I'm going to tell you, some of what he prays is extremely similar to language found in Psalm 69, which is a psalm of the cross of the Lord Jesus. It's a psalm that describes some of the affliction the Lord Jesus took on the cross for my sins and yours. It says, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. And out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas. The floods compassed me about. All thy billows and all thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I'm cast out of thy sight, yet I'll look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped around my heads. I went down to the bottom of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. For thou hast brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. The language of Psalm 69, and I won't turn there for the sake of time, but it's very similar language found there. The scripture's painting a picture. The sign of the prophet Jonah. What the Lord endured for us. You never know when the Lord's going to paint a picture in his word. Why would you paint a picture in this account of a rebellious preacher? But the Lord... Let me ask this. If the Lord's going to paint a picture of his son in anybody's life, won't it be a sinner? Because that's kind of all there was. And we see that happen throughout the Old Testament many times. He said, he brought up my life from corruption. You remember what the psalmist would say in the book of Acts? It would be attributed to the resurrection of Christ. He said, he did not suffer my soul to see corruption. We may wonder what that means. In Acts chapter 2, it clearly said, it's talking about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's keep reading. When my soul fainted within me, I remember the Lord. Sometimes we have to get to a place. Sometimes I've been in a place in my life where I've forgotten about him. Where I've looked so much at the things of the world, I've forgotten about my Lord, my Savior, my Master, and my Redeemer. And sometimes we need to be brought to a place when my soul fainted within me. I remembered the Lord. He got to that place. He said, my prayer came in unto thee in thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Vanities is pride. It's arrogance. It's self-love. Jonah thought, I'm going to do it my way. I don't care what the Lord wants. I know better. There's a lot of applications for that today. The Lord gave us a pattern of worship in his house. He told us what ought to be in there, preaching, praying, singing. And anything he didn't talk about means we don't need it.
Amen.
I would to God, we'd never tell lying vanities. Say, I know better than the Lord. I know better than what he says. He said, they that observe lying vanities. See, if we ever think we know better than the Lord, that's a lie. And if we're being prideful, that's a lie. We ain't all that great. That's a lie. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Jonah didn't have to take a three-day and three-night ride in the whale. It ain't a Disney ride. It wasn't fun. He didn't have to take that ride. He forsook his own mercy because he said, I know better than God, and I'm going to do it my way. We can be there. Maybe we have been there. Maybe we will be there. May God bless us. May God help us not to be there. He said, but I'll sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that. I avowed salvation is of the Lord. Now he's thinking right now. He's thinking right now. And he utters that wonderful truth. Salvation is of the Lord. It's not of me. It's not of any man. But salvation is of the Lord. And when he cries out unto God that great truth, that whale just couldn't, his stomach couldn't hold him anymore. Now the Bible said he, and I don't want to be gross, but he vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Let me ask you a question. When we have the urge to vomit, is it because we don't want to hold what's in our stomach? Or is it because we can't hold what's in our stomach? You know what Jesus said? He said, I came to do thy will, oh God. The Lord Jesus made a vow before time ever began. And the covenant of grace Before the foundation of the world, he vowed that everyone that the Father gave to him, he would come and would suffer and would bleed and would die upon the cross of Calvary, that he would redeem us from all of our sins. He made a vow. And I'll tell you, in this great statement of faith that Jonah made, I see the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. I paid that. I will pay that. I vowed. The Lord Jesus, when he came, he set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem. He would not swerve from what the Lord had for him to do. He said, I came to do thy will, O God. And he did it. He went to the cross of Calvary. He made a vow and he said, I'm going to pay that. Then I vowed every bit of it. And he paid the greatest price that could have ever been paid with his own precious blood. He said, I paid that. I vowed salvation is of the Lord. What greater testimony than the payment that the Lord Jesus Christ made of his own precious blood, that salvation is totally and completely of him. He finished the work. And in 3 days and three nights, there was a great testimony by God given. You see, it's not that the grave wouldn't hold the Lord Jesus. Just like that well, it's not that he wouldn't hold Jonah. He couldn't hold Jonah. Now I'll tell you, the grave could not hold the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 2, it says, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden by. I'll tell you, the grave couldn't hold King Jesus. But because of that great victory, because he paid the vow that he had promised to the Father before time ever began, in that covenant between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, he paid the vow. And the sweet testimony and evidence of the great victory of the vow that he had paid on the cross of Calvary was the grave couldn't hold him. Three times in the book of Matthew, he had told his disciples, he had said, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, and I'm going to be betrayed, and I'm going to be crucified, and on the third day, I will rise again. He told them three times, on the third day, I will rise again. On the third day, I will rise again. There was Roman soldiers there to guard the tomb. There was a stone that had been rolled over the entrance. The religious leaders had gone to Pilate, and we heard him say, he'll rise again. You need to put a guard there. And Pilate sealed it. He sealed that tomb with the royal authority of Rome. All the power of the Roman government, all the military power, said he ain't coming out. But that's against the backdrop of the promise that Jesus made. I will rise again. He did. The grave could not hold him. And he came out of that grave in power and in great and wondrous glory. Jonah goes back and he decides maybe the Lord was right. Maybe I should go preach to those folks. And he did. And the entire city, from the king to the lowest person, the entire city mourned over their sins and repented in genuine repentance in sackcloth and ashes. You think that was blessed preaching? Seriously, do we? I do. Does that mean the man doing it had the right attitude? No, it doesn't. He still got a bad attitude. That's a lesson for us preachers too. Just because the Lord blesses us to preach, he may do it for the sake of the sheep. And I may be as wrong as I can be about something. But because the Lord's goodness and mercy, and because he loves the sheep, he blessed this man to preach very ably when his thinking was still stinking. Said, God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Said, God saw their works. God sees all works, good or bad. Been so many sweet things that have been done at this meeting, and us folks that are visiting, that we've just seen just a small portion of what all y'all have done. But the Lord's seen it all. And the Lord's pleased when his servants serve him so faithfully. Jonah's very mad. He goes to the Lord and again says, I'm mad at you, Lord. You've forgiven him. I knew that you're a gracious God and merciful and slow to anger and of great kindness and repentest thee of the evil. He's mad. Lord said, doest thou well to be angry? You know, when Mark Quarles is ever angry, I need to ask that question. Doest thou well to be angry? Lord causes a gourd to grow up over his head. And he rejoices in that gourd. It gives him some shade. He loves that gourd more than he did the people of Nineveh. Lord sent him to preach for. I'll tell you, ministers of the gospel ought to love the folks they preach to. And we better be able to show you we love you. The Lord prepared a room, worm. He destroyed the gourd. Then Jonah gets really mad. Take my life! I wished in himself to die. It's better for me to die than to live. Lord asked him again, doest thou well to be angry? He said, I do well to be angry even unto death. He had done some powerful preaching. But again, his thinking is still stinking. And we can be there. The Lord said, and I'm going to tell you, one of the testimonies of grace here is not only to the people of Nineveh, it's to Jonah. The Lord still loved Jonah. The Lord was still long-suffering with grace and mercy to Jonah. It's kind of like the account of the prodigal son, which to me has more to do really with the forgiving father, who not only forgave the son that came home from the hog pen, he was long-suffering and gracious with the stinking attitude of his son that stayed in the house. That didn't love his brother and got mad because he had showed kindness to his brother. I'm thankful the Lord's gracious with both sets. And maybe I found myself sometime in the class of the prodigal. Maybe I've sometime been in the class of the brother that stayed at home. He said, thou hast pity on the gourd for which thou hast not labored, neither madest it to grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 6,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and also much cattle. I think he's talking about the little children. He said, there are 120,000 children here, Jonah. And you care more about the gourd than you did about these children. I would to God America would love little children.
Amen.
God Almighty called John the Baptist a babe in his mother's womb.
That's right.
He filled him with the Holy Ghost there. And I'm going to call a baby in the womb a baby.
Amen.
May we respect their life.
Amen.
Brother James Isaacs, and I'll close with this. Talk some about the elect. And there's a lot of different names for the elect in Scripture. One's sheep. And the other's little children of God. God said, did you not have compassion on the little children? The disciples would bring some young children to the Lord Jesus and they would rebuke them. The Lord Jesus would say, suffer the little children and forbid them not, for as such is the kingdom of heaven. John chapter 13 begins with the Lord Jesus saying, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them until the end. Those disciples that he knew in a few hours were going to forsake him and flee away, he still reached out. And as a slave would have done, he washed their feet. At the end of John chapter 13, he said, my little children, a little while am I with you. He wasn't talking to little children in chronological age. He was talking to his disciples, those strong, burly fishermen, Peter, James, and John, and the others. Lord Jesus, he paid a vow for the little children. And one sweet day, he's coming back. He's going to bring all the little children of God that he paid the vow for. Those mariners had strived hard to save Jonah. They had strived hard to alleviate that judgment of God. But it took the sacrifice of one man, the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, who would come and suffer and bleed and die for us to secure heaven and immortal glory for every little child of God.
Amen.
So many times in the service of God, I don't feel like a big burly man. I feel like a little child. And I feel protected in the rest of my Lord, my Savior, my Master, and our Redeemer. And I'll tell you, all the family of God looks forward to that day where Brother Gary finished, where the trumpet shall sound, the archangel shall shout. The trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible and we're all going to be changed. Every little child of God that he paid the vow for, that he came to die for, that he secured and purged all of our sins on Calvary's tree. He's coming again for all the family of God and he'll get us all without the loss of one. We'll look up and the clouds will be rolled back as a scroll. And there he is, our King Jesus. that we waited so long to see. And he'll change us. These old sinful bodies won't plague us anymore. We'll never go to bed again saying, Lord, I'll do better tomorrow than I did today. But we'll be changed, body, soul, and spirit, and be with him forever and ever and ever. God bless you.
Amen.
Turn to number 502. We're thankful for both of these messages. The Lord has once again been with us abundantly. 502, if there be anyone here that has a desire to join the church, this one or anyone represented, come forward as we sing.
Oh, for the song here.